Now begin lecture 4 on Parshas Mitzora at Revi'i. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe v'Aharon lemar. God spoke to Moshe, note, and to Aharon too. We now have before us a whole new category of tzoras, of negoim. We learned about negoi odom, if a nega appears on a human being, all sorts of categories and subcategories of that particular halacha. Most of that we learned in Parshas Tazria. In Parshas Mitzora, we learned about the purification process of a person's Mitzora. We also learned back in Parshas Tazria about a tzoras on begodim, negoi begodim, on cloth, on fabric, etc. And we learned all the halachos comprehensively about that. Now we're going to learn about a third category entirely of negoyim, not nigei odom, not on a human being, and not negoi begodim on cloth or fabric, but rather on the walls of a house. And this surely, as Rambam insists, is osvafela, something supernatural. The pasuk says, "Ki sovo el eretz Kanan." When you arrive in the land of Canaan, "Asher ani nosein lochem la'achuzah," which I am giving you as an inheritance, "v'nosati negatzoras," I will place a negatzoras, a discoloration, a cursed thing, "beveis eretz achuzaschem," in a house you find in the land in which you will settle. Of course, the pasuk raises all sorts of difficulties. It seems to open up with a great proclamation. Wow, we're going to be entering into the land of Israel. And I'm going to bring you there. I'm giving you this land. But I'm going to put a cursed, discolored blemish on your walls. So there are various ways of understanding this. Rashi understands it with the famous Medrash. And that is that the Goyim who occupied Canaan before the Jews arrived there hid all sorts of treasures under the walls or in the walls or under the walls of their houses, which we never would have found. However, God says, I will give you a special bracha. I will place this nega. Not every nega is really a nega. On the surface, this looks to be a terrible thing. The walls of my house are infested. However, no, because of that, I will break down the wall or part of it, and underneath I will find these treasures. So it really is a gift, as it were. The others say, this is the Ramban right here, who says a different approach, and that is that this is coming derech neis. The pasuk says v'nosati. God, this is not nature working here. This is God himself. V'nosati, I will place a negatzoras. And I'm doing it in order to help you, in order to protect you. Because the houses in which there are negoyim are houses which are faulty, are houses which are not constructed well, and they may cave in on you, and you'll never know it because on the outside it looks fine. So therefore I'm going to cause a nega to come, and the nega, the Ralbach's pshat now, the nega will reveal that the house is faulty, that the house is not constructed well, and will save you from mapoles, will save you from a cave in. The Chizkuni says that since the Torah tells us a mitzvah that we are to go into Canaan and destroy every place where idols were worshipped, so you come into Canaan, not every house of idol worship has a big sign on the door that says this is St. Bartholomew's Cathedral. This is a base of Avodah Zarah. Many of the houses just look like houses. How do I know whether idols were worshipped there or not? So says the Chizkuni, that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'll help you out. I'll place a nega in those houses. You'll move in. You'll think it's an ordinary house. Next morning you wake up, the house is contaminated with these speckled walls. You'll know something's wrong here, and you'll understand that this is a place of Avodah Zarah which needs to be destroyed. Be that as it may, let's get into the technicalities here. You have this nega on your home, which is an Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, as Rashi points out, these halachos only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not anywhere else. Uvo ashelo abayis v'higid la kohen leimor. The person who's possessed this house will come to the kohen and say, Kinega niro liba boyus. You know, I've seen something in the walls of my house. It looks to be, it seems to be, kinega niro liba boyus. Rashi stresses, the person, no matter how knowledgeable he is in Hilchos Negoyim, what a big time with Chochem, an expert he is in this matter, he has to go to the Kohen. And he shouldn't tell the Kohen, I know it's a nega. But he should just say to the Kohen, I think it's a nega. It seems to be a nega. Kinega. So the Kohen springs into action. Vitzivu ha-Kohen ufinu es habayis. First of all, the Kohen clears out of the house. He clears out of the house all the utensils, tables, furniture, etc. that's in the house. And he does this b'terem yavoh ha-Kohen liros es ha-nega. Before the Kohen can show up to investigate this nega, to examine it, to see it, all the furniture is removed, because before the Kohen pronounces it tamei, it is not tamei. So the Torah wants to spare the poor fellow who owns this house the loss, or at least the tumah, of all of his utensils and furniture. So clear them out. And then, after they're all cleared out, lo yitmo kol asher baboyis, achakein yavo ha-Kohen liros es haboyis, then the Kohen can come and see. Rashi says, what's the big deal if everything in his house becomes tome? Suppose your pots, pans, whatever become tome. So what? You take them, if they're made of metal, of wood, you could cleanse them in a mikveh. That doesn't mean you have a total loss. It costs you a few cents to schlep to the mikveh and to immerse them, no big deal. Food? All right, so the food would become tome. You can eat tome food. Be made to muscle, for sure you can eat tome food. What's the problem? So the problem only is those kelim, those ceramic earthenware kelim, which cannot be purified in the mitzvah, and must be broken and smashed and discarded. Those person might lose. So how many of these things aren't expensive utensils? Not gold and silver. It's earthenware. Nevertheless, HaTorah choso al mamonim shel Yisrael. The Torah is careful. The Torah has pity. The Torah wants to save a Jewish person, even a few pennies. Every bit of Jewish money is precious and holy and sacred, and God doesn't want any Jewish person to lose any amount of money. An important lesson here about not wasting and about appreciating every little thing you have, and not just fall into the trap of our throwaway society where everything is thrown away. No, the Jew has kelim. Keep those kelim, use them to the max. Don't waste your money. God doesn't want you to do so. And so you remove before the Kohen comes everything, so nothing becomes tamei. V'ro, you better hope that you have a good storage place where you can put this stuff, or a good friend who lets you keep it in his house. But in the meantime, your house is empty. V'ro es ha-nega, the Kohen comes into the house, the empty house, looks at the wall, and there is a nega. What does he see there? Hinei ha-nega b'kiros ha-bayis. There is a nega blemish in the walls of the house. Shika'aruros yirak rakos o adam damos. Very green. Yirak rak means green. Yorok means green. Yirak rak means very green. Yirak rakos, very, very green. O adam damos, very, very red. And they are shika'aruros. Well, she says they seem to be sunk into the house, into the wall. They're on the surface, but they look like they're sunk in. Interesting passage in the commentary Ksava HaKabbalah here, who says, suppose the walls are naturally red or naturally green, and there's a nega there. How are you going to know it's a nega? Because they will appear to be deeper than the surface. They'll appear to be a little deeper than their background. Umarei and Shofal min Hakir. Their appearance is deeper than the wall. So the Kohen's got to spring into action. The Kohen's got to do something. This house has a nega there, and it's a nega. It's redder than red and greener than green. The Kohen leaves the house, goes to the door, and he encloses the house for 7 days. What does it mean to enclose the house? Interestingly enough, if one consults the Mishneh LeMelech, one of the commentaries on the Rambam, in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, Perek Yudalit, Halacha Hey, the Mishneh LeMelech says that there's a great machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says that Hizkir Es Habayis means the Kohen actually makes a fence or a mark or something around the house and closes the door and no one's allowed in anymore. All right. He puts one of these ribbons that they do by a crime scene around and says, this house is now musgar. The Rambam says in Mishnah Melech understands it differently. All it means is, Kohen walks out of the house and says, this house is musgar. This house is off limits, and then the Kohen goes and does his own thing. I refer you also on this topic of what is the hesker, what is the enclosure process for a bias, to the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Zion. So the house now is shut off for 7 days. End of 7 days, what happens? V'shov ha-kohen b'yom ha-shvi v'ro'o v'hine poso ha-nega b'kiros ha-boyos. All right, various things, various options here. One possibility is the Kohen comes back on day 7 and the nega has spread. Then the Kohen must do the following. The Kohen has to be choletz. He has to remove, take all out of the wall, those stones which have this blemish. Take these stones, throw them outside the city, to a specific place where everyone knows whatever there is tamei, because these avonim are tameim. You don't want to come into contact with them. They are sent into exile, thrown out of the city, into a special place. V'yes habayis, the house itself, yaktziya mibayis soviv. He must finish off, demarcate a place around the house, inside the house. V'shavchu es ha'ofor asher hiktzu. Rashi explained this is an act of kiluf. He must also peel off the plaster around these stones, which was holding the stones into place, and take the earth of this plaster and throw that out too. El michutz lo'ir, el makom tamei. So now the guy's got Nebuch a whole big hole in the wall of his house because the avonim have been taken out and the offer around the avonim have been removed. So what does he do? Replaces the stones, replaces the offer. V'lokhu avonim acheros v'hiviyu el tachas avonim v'yofor acher yikach v'toches aboyes. He takes new stones, takes new earth, and he again shmirs, v'toch means he encloses, he closes, he seals the place where the hole was. Now what? Well, if nothing else happens, that's the end of the story. But suppose Pasuk Mem Gimel. V'im yashuv ha-nega uforach b'bayis achar chileitz eso avon. V'yachrei hiktsos es ha-bayis. V'achrei hitoach. After chileitz, he has removed the stones. And after the house was hiktsos, was marked off, was stripped of its plaster. V'achrei toach, and after it has been resealed. Then, uvo ha-kohen, the Kohen comes back and he says, oh, there's trouble again. V'ro avihine poso ha-nega baboyis toras mameres. See, there's a curse here in the whole house. This tzaras has infected the entire house. No longer easy to remedy it by simply removing the stones, etc. Tzaras mameresi babayis tomehu, and the house is tome. V'nosatz es habayis, therefore the whole house has to be destroyed. Es habonov yetzetzov, the entire house, the stones, the wood, the eskolah farhaboyis, and all of the offer, which is being used as plaster or as a sealant, something to close the cracks and the crevices of the house. All of that has to be vinosatz. It all has to be completely destroyed. This is after the first 7 day period. And all of this house now, the whole rubble of the house, v'hotzi al michutz lo'ir el mokom tomei. It has to be taken to that same place outside the city where the stones and the earth were previously taken, namely this makom tomei. V'habo el habayis. Anyone who ever entered that house, kol yemei hiskiroso, all during the times when the house was enclosed, that person who enters the house when the house was in that tomei state, yitmo ad ha'orev, the person becomes tomei. V'hashochev babayis, and the person who sleeps there, spends time there, yichabes es begodov. V'hochel babayis yichabes es begodov. Anyone who entered the house and remained there for a certain period of time, that person is Tomei, but not an extensive, serious Tumah, but rather a Tumah for that day. And how does he purify himself and release himself from this state of Tumah? We will see in a few psukim. Continuing now, we reach the point where the bias has been found Tomei. The Kohen has returned to the house after the first period of 7 days, at the end of another period of 7 days, and he's found that the house is Tomei, the Nega has expanded, and therefore the whole house is destroyed. The house is Tomei during these days of Hesker. The person who's there is Tomei, and so he must be purified. But it's only a Tumah for 1 day, Yitmoa to Oref, so he goes to the mikveh, the end of that day, the end of that night, nightfall, new day, he is now Tohor. Now, suppose on the other hand, the Kohen returns to the house, and the Nega has not grown, requiring a destruction of the whole house. But rather, the Nega has not spread. After it has once been rebuilt and resealed, etc. Then, good news. Obviously, it's been cured, healed, corrected, and the house is pronounced Tohor. How can the house now be repurified? After all, this house has had a nega. Yes, the nega has not grown, but the house has had a nega. And during that time when it had a nega, during its Yemei Hesker, it was a house which is Tomei. How does the house now lose its status of Tumah? Here it comes. We use a process similar to that which was used to be Metaher, the Metzora himself, the person who became Tzoras. We will use a similar process to cleanse the house. What's that process? You'll remember. You take, first of all, these two living, meaning not trefa, not wounded or harmed or blemished birds which are kosher, of a species which is kosher. The eitz erez and this twig of cedar tree. Ushni solas, this strip of fabric, red, presumably silk. The ezov and the hyssop herb. You take a earthenware bowl and you shecht the one of the birds over the bowl, and in that bowl is Mayim Chayim, is fresh fountain water. Then you take this whole bundle, this whole package of the eitz erez of the cedar, the ezov herb, the shnito loas fabric, together, as we learned in the previous situation of being metaher, a human mitzora, in one aguda, one package, one wrapped around complete package, and together with it, adjacent to it, the living bird, v'tovalo som b'dam hatzipor hashchuto v'mayim hachayim, and you immerse them, that entire package of four items, into the blood and water, the water which had been bloodied by the blood of the Tzipor HaShechuto, and you sprinkle it around the house 7 times. This provides a purification of the house. So the house has now become chitei, it has become chatui, it has become cleansed by the blood, by the Tzipor HaChaya, by the Eitz Erez, by the Ezo, by the Shnito Loas. What do you do with the living bird? The whole process comes to a climax and a happy ending, so to speak. The living bird is sent to free, let loose into the wild. And this way, the whole bias has now become Tohor. I've tried to give you here, in this complicated halacha of Negoi Botim, as much as possible a summary of the matter. There are specific details which Rashi derives at some length, for Rashi, uncharacteristic length, which we cannot go into in this particular series, but if one wants to really understand the details of Negoi Botim, even just at the level of the Psukim, this lecture is not meant to provide that. This lecture has just been meant to provide a simple reading of the Psukim Shnayim Mikro. For a detailed understanding, I suggest that you go yourself into a Chumash with Rashi, and of course, beyond Rashi, there's so much more to study. But the Rashi here is extremely important. There are various rules here about how one is to interpret psukim, how one is to use gzera shova, etc., which unfortunately, because of the limits of time and the context of this type of lecture, we have to do without. But at this point, we have finished lecture 4 of Parshas Mitzorah.